I'd done a lot of live music stuff. I'd been a booking agent, and it was the live music scene that I got, but the other side of the spectrum I had no idea about. And I just sort of threw the question out to the universe. And these guys wrote to me, and they were like, "Hey, look, this is what we're doing. There's two brothers in the band, John and Paul Bartlett. We do a little bit of producing on the side. Do you want to send us some stuff? We'll have a look at it." And that's naturally the moment that I completely freak out. Sent it across, and they came back singing praises, which was lovely. And then we just worked towards the finished product and flew down to Adelaide, recorded the EP, and
actually, it's your debut EP,
yes,
which is called A Winner's Guide to the Walk of Shame.
Yes.
This came at the end of that process of you just putting word out there on social media,
yeah.
"Hey, I want to record this album.
Yeah.
You like this band?" You got in touch with the band, and then you created this album. Tell us a bit about that album and maybe how that reflects the type of music that you do and the lyrics that you write.
I hope I do, but I don't think I'm going to produce another record that's going to have as much of a mix as that one does in it. I mean, more importantly than drawing on different experiences and different chapters of my life, each of them kind of represent my relationship with those experiences now. Whether or not they're still raw and I've got this, you know, visceral reaction to them and I'm not healed, I guess is probably the best way to put it, or if I've had time to heal and I can look back jovially and I guess laugh about it. And I think it's those three things that have sort of had time to develop in different paces, at different stages for each of the songs. And I think the influence of the guys coming in just completely transformed them. I mean, everything that I brought to the table kind of not hit its line, but definitely hit its peak when I kind of came to them with demos, which is just keys and vocals. And then full credit to these two, just complete maestros. Chasing your dreams. Don't you get tired of tripping in streams? Oh, I know
it's exhausting. Come take a seat. One song in particular that I find interesting, which is Hedonism in a Glass.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain how that story came to be, what that song is about? You write all the lyrics,
yeah,
to your songs, which I also find a good thing to point out.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. So Hedonism in a Glass is about an ex-boyfriend who suffered from bipolar disorder and a lot of substance abuse. Struggling with mental health is one thing, and I think there's a lot of pressure not to be a burden on the people around them, and it comes with this added guilt. I mean, looking back on the lyrics, it's like, when did you stop learning how to ask? It's kind of when I started realizing that, you know, as much as there might be times where I would resent him leaning on me, he stopped doing it and he started internalizing it, and that was so much worse. And I guess my whole driving point behind that song was to really, really push him away from that way of thinking and just get him to focus on himself and allow himself to be unwell and give that time, because that's difficult enough and heavy enough as it is, whether it's self-induced or not. When did you stop learning how to ask? I put a drop of hedonism into your glass. We both know where this is heading, but we've got all the time in the world.
What we've been talking about, you write in your lyrics,
mm-hmm,
which means that you sing, perform, and record original music. It seems that in Sydney there is a market where there's a platform for musicians doing cover songs. Is that part of the challenge of staying true to who you are in terms of singing your own songs instead of performing covers?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, I've lived here my whole life. I can't speak for other cities. I think because of the size of the music industry here, particularly at my level and within my genre spectrum, I think it's very easy to get typecast, though it's not a bad thing, as a cover artist. And I've always sort of shied away from it, maybe detrimentally so, just to avoid having that brand malleability. And I always kind of make sure, I mean, of course I do covers in my sets, and I love doing them, I love reworking them, but I think I want to make sure that the presence that I have is as an original artist.
Do you think social media has made it easier to connect with people who might like your music?
Yes, easier to connect, but yes, easier to disconnect. I think that, I mean, famously so, our attention spans have gotten shorter. And there's so much content out there. And that content is constantly changing, constantly refreshing. So I think it's fantastic, the reach capabilities that you can have and the platforms that are available to do so. And every single day there are new things coming out and there are new combats to the climate, I guess is probably the best way to put it. But then with that comes the influx of product competition. So while the platform highways have completely increased, so is the traffic. You used to wear, you lived in the grin, and now you look a little bare. Climb up and bring it down from that shelf now. You deserve a better version of yourself. You deserve a better version. So go. SBS Filipino. Sa radio, online at mobile.